We're in the middle of Torah Zion and Likudei Moran Tanina. We're going to be starting from Ois Zion, Emet Hashem, paragraph Zion, which in Rabbi Zal's Likudei Moran, it's on page 29 in the second half of Likudei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal began this Torah in Likudei Moran talking about the importance of a leader of Klal Yisrael having Rachmonis, and Rabbeinu Zal used Moshe Rabbeinu as the most outstanding example of a true leader of Bnei Yisrael who was zechet to have the real Rachmonis, the real kindness, the real pity on Bnei Yisrael, in seeing to it that they shouldn't have any sins. Rabbeinu Zal said that's the main Rachmonis on a Jew, is the fact when a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, has to carry around the burden of sin. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the importance of that even when a person passes the fact that what's the key to removing sins from Bnei Yisrael, the Gemara says that the item which opens a door to sin is a lack of seichel. Ein adam chayte elam keinichnas by ruach shtus. A person commits a sin if a ruach shtus enters him, a foolishness. So the more seichel we give to people, the more we eliminate the ruach shtus, automatically the more we're going to eliminate their sins. So Rabbeinu Zal is obviously emphasizing the importance in a leader who feels true Rachmonis on Bnei Yisrael to shine as much Seichel into Bnei Yisrael, to teach them as much of the Das of the Torah, which will prevent them from committing sins. Note, the Gemara says in Poga Becha Menuvel Zeh, Mashikeu Lebeis HaMedrash, that if this Menuvel, if this despicable character, the Satan, tries to attack a person, one of the items of advice that the Gemara says to a person is, drag him to the Beis HaMedrash, because Hashem says, Borosi Yetzahara, Borosi Torah Tavlin. I have created an evil inclination, and I have created a Torah, which is a medication. It's a cure for this evil item. So Rabbeinu Zal says, this item of teaching, shining Das into Bnei Yisrael, not only applies while a person's alive, but even after a person passes away, he has to see to it that his Das should remain behind in the world. In what form? In the form of a child, a son, and a student. And Rabbeinu Zal went into length in explaining the concept of a child and a student, and what the purpose, broad explanation about that topic. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how really a son and a student are actually one, because a student, in a sense, is also a creation of the Rebbe. And on the other hand, a child is only really classified as a human child if the parent does lead him on the Derech HaTorah, if he does teach him Torah, period. Then Rabbeinu Zal said, however, if a person wants to be able to speak to other people about wisdom of Hashem, about fear of Hashem, the person must himself have the ingredient of Yirah Shemayim. Because the Gemara says that in order for a person's words to be received by another person, the one who's doing the talking must have Yirah Shemayim. That's one purpose of it, in order to be able to have his words received, and in order to have his words retained, in order for his words to have any kiyum by the other person, any lasting effect, again, he must have Yirah Shemayim. Because the Gemara says that's the ingredient that makes another person receptive to hear what you have to say, plus it prolongs the effects of what you're saying to the person. Then Rabbeinu Zal said that one of the rewards for a person who is zeichet to be Isaac in this item of teaching other people Torah, one of the rewards for this is that Hashem gives that person any lights of makifin that the person had for a period of time. Hashem converts those makifin to pnimim. The term makif means that which surrounds a person's head, like a halo, which is around the person. In other words, that knowledge which is not yet completely accessible to a person, which a person doesn't yet have. He has, it's sort of available to him, but he hasn't yet learned it, he hasn't yet understood it. So we consider that as though it's around his head, it's floating right around his head in a circle, but it hasn't yet entered into the person's head. Whereas the wisdom that a person has acquired already, and he does understand fully, that we call pnimium, that which is already inside a person's head. And Rabbi Rabbeinu Zal said, the more that a person is willing to empty his own head, meaning to share his knowledge with others, to teach other people some of his own knowledge, the more he empties out his head figuratively, the more Hashem fills that vacuum with makifin, with that which he originally didn't understand. Hashem increases his capacity for understanding to be able to make these makifin into premium. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this wisdom of makifin, this is called the Oir HaKeser, the light of the crown of Hashem, because the crown of Hashem, the term crown, is also something which is round. A crown is worn around the head, it surrounds, it encircles the head, it inscribes within itself the head. And Rabbeinu Zal also brought proof from a pasuk in Navi, where the pasuk says, Kisru es Binyamin, encircle the tribe Binyamin, and the word keser was used to mean circle. Now note, Rabbeinu Zal used another term, the term mo. Mo means what? Rabbeinu Zal said that the term mo refers to one reaching out to Hashem, yearning to know that which he has not yet attained, and he's saying what, with a yearning feeling. What is Hashem? In other words, that seeking feeling as expressed in this term mo. Now we continue. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'ze ha-chochom she-zeich leilu ha-makifin." This Chacham, who is zeich to have this knowledge, which originally he didn't understand, given to him by Hashem, b'chinas shefa ha-keser, this concept of that which comes from the keser, from the crown, this super high-level knowledge, which Hashem reveals to him as reward for him sharing some of his knowledge with other people, who tzarech sheyieloi b'chinas koil. This chacham, this wise person, must be zeche to achieve the level called koil. B'chinas, as the pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, ki koil b'shamayim uva'oretz. Everything that exists in heaven and earth has been created by Hashem. V'targumai, the targum on this pasuk is de'ochid b'shmayo vi'ara. Kaviyochel Hashem holds on to kaviyochel. We picture Hashem as being in the intermediary, the in-between heaven and earth. Hashem is in between them, and he's holding on to them kaviyochel with both hands, in a sense. Hashem has a hold on that which is above and that which is below. Hainu sheyihye oicheiz umekayim shnei oilomois. This chacham who has achieved this high-level knowledge has to see to it to hold on to and sustain two worlds, oilom ha'elyon v'olam ha'tachton, the upper world and the lower world, shehem b'chinas shamayim v'oretz. We compare them to a concept of heaven and earth, that which is above and that which is below. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, ki hatzadik v'chacham anal, this tzadik and chacham, and note, Rabbeinu Zal, here's an example of where Rabbeinu Zal is using the two terms interchangeably, tzadik, chacham, because generally, the tzadik is a chacham. Generally, what we call a chacham is only if he's a tzadik, not just one who has knowledge and isn't religious, that we don't call chacham, so that we generally are permitted to use these two terms sort of interchangeably. Rabbeinu Zal says now, ki atzadik v'chacham anal hu tzorech sheyihye oicheiz b'shneihem. This tzadik and chacham must hold on to both. L'kayem es kol echad v'echad b'vechinosoi. He has to be able to sustain each and every single Jew on his own level. The tzadik has to be able to relate to each and every single Jew on his level. Rabbeinu Zal explains why. In other words, are there actually different levels? Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki yesh dore malo, v'yesh dore mato. There are those that reside on a high level, there are those that reside on a lower level, and Rabbeinu Zal gives it the nickname. These are terms that it pays to get familiar with, because these terms are used throughout the Likutei Moran, and especially throughout the Likutei Halachos. The term dore malo and dore mato. Dore malo refers to higher level people, dore mato refers to lower level people. Rabbeinu Zal says there exist these two levels, dahinu olam ha'elyon v'olam ha'tachton, a concept of an upper world and a lower world, b'chinas shamayim v'oretz, a concept of heaven and earth, v'tzorich ha'tzadik laharois ledorei malo, she'enom yoidim klal b'yidiyosa yisborach. Let's say you get people who are on a very high level, meaning they're very knowledgeable in Torah, they're knowledgeable about Hashem, they're knowledgeable about mitzvahs. When such a person comes to the tzadik, what's the tzaddik's function? To teach him something? In other words, to teach him an additional piece of wisdom? How much is that going to do for this person in being able to help him note? We mentioned many times that when a person comes to a shir of a tzaddik or a shir of a rebbe, the main function is not the additional knowledge that he's getting, that piece, that 45-minute unit of knowledge that he's acquired. That's not the real function of a rebbe, because that you could pretty much get from a sefer or other ways of getting it. The main function is that the tzaddik should be able to be mechamem him, to give him an injection in that hour that will propel him for the next 200-300 hours or 50 hours that he's not able to come to the shir. What he got at this shir is going to feed him enough to sustain him, to carry him through for that period of time. Now, depending on what level a person is on, that's what's going to determine what type of injection this person needs. If the person is very learned and very high level, by giving him another piece of knowledge, possibly he'll enjoy it for that 15 minutes, but that's not going to be able to charge him for hours. What does the tzaddik have to do to him to charge him? Rabbi Nizal says to charge him, the tzaddik has to be able to prove to him that he doesn't know. You who are on a high level, and you who could possibly get a thought into your mind of slowing down and serving Hashem, coasting a little bit, because you don't feel a drive, because you don't feel thirsty, you feel satiated, you've learned enough, and you've done enough mitzvahs to feel sort of satisfied, the tzaddik has to be able to take this person and make him feel empty, make him feel small, make him feel far from Hashem, so that now he's going to have what to do for the next 100 hours. He's going to be running fast to thirst, to jump, to try to reach at Hashem. Because the tzaddik has been able to convince him that whereas when he came to the tzaddik, he thought he was close to Hashem, the tzaddik's going to be able to convince him that you thought you were close, watch, I'm going to show you that you're really very far away, and you still have a long way to go in getting close to Hashem. So Rabbi Nizal says, again, the tzaddik has to be able to show these people who are on a high level that they know nothing about knowledge about Hashem. This means feeding them the understanding, the level of understanding called mo. What? This person who thinks he's got all the answers, you've got to be able to show him that he's on the level called what? What is a question that's asked by somebody who doesn't know anything? In other words, he hasn't yet gotten to the level where he can ask how or when. The first question is what? You have to, tzaddik has to be able to take this person on Dorei Mala and bring him to the level where he feels a feeling of reaching out and saying more. What? Bechinas machomis mapishpasht. As the Zohar HaKadosh says in the Hagdamah, the concept of a person, once he reaches a high level in serving Hashem and coming close to Hashem, that's when he first begins to understand how far he is from Hashem. And that's when he begins to say, machomis mapishpasht. What do you know? What do you understand? Bechinas aye mekoyim kevoidoi. As the pasuk says, Misharsov shayalim zeloze. Misharsov means Hashem's closest servants, the angels who are on a very, very high level. They're very close to Hashem. What do they discuss when they discuss Hashem? What do they say? Shayalim zeloze. They ask each other, aye mekoyim kevoidoi. Where is Hashem to be found? How can you say that? You say these angels are so close to Hashem, supposedly they see Hashem and they feel the presence of Hashem in an incredible way, and yet the level of understanding, the madrega that they're on, is called Aye Mekayim Kevoidai. That they have achieved such a high level in understanding Hashem that they know that they don't know. In other words, they see this super high level of Hashem at a distance from them. They don't just see what's in front of their eyes. They don't just, in other words, it's not as if they don't know that they know something, but they know enough what they don't know to understand that what they do know compared to what they don't know is very little. So Rabbi Nizal says, ulehepech, and just the opposite, tzorech laharois l'dorei mato, the tzaddik has to be able to show those who are on a low level, she'adarabo, just the opposite, meloi chol horetz kevoidoi, that the kevoid of Hashem is so broad that it fills the entire world, and there doesn't exist a person who can bring himself to a low enough level where Hashem should not be able to reach out, reach down to that level, where that person can't reach out 1 inch away from him and find Hashem right there with him in his pit that he's in, be able to call out Hashem and reach for Hashem and be able to be brought close to Hashem. Rabbein Zal says, Ki yesh shoich ne'ofar. There are those people who reside in the ground. In other words, they're so low, we call them shoich ne'ofar. They're sleeping in the dirt. That's how low they are. Shehim b'nei odom hamunochim b'madrega tachtayna. These are people who are resting, who find themselves in the lowest level. V'nit melahem, and it appears to them, shehim rechaykim ma'oid mimenu yisporach. It appears to them that they have become very, very distant from Hashem, as though they're a million miles away from Hashem. V'tzorech ha-tzadik lo'irarom u'lohokitzom. The tzadik has to be able to arouse them and to wake them up. Be'bechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, hokitzu v'ranenu sheich ne'ofer. The Navi calls out and he says, wake up and sing, those of you who are sleeping in the dirt, those of you who are on so low a level. The tzaddik has to be able to reveal to them that Hashem is with them, and that they are actually close to Hashem. There doesn't exist, in other words, if we understand that Hashem is infinite, it means there doesn't exist within your capacity, you don't have the power to make yourself distant from Hashem. Because if Hashem is infinite, if we picture Hashem like an incontainable item, uncontainable, unconfined, unrestricted, you move away an inch, Hashem moves the inch too. In other words, if we picture Hashem in a sense, kaviyach, like a body of water, if you widen the container, the water just widens its reach also. In other words, no matter how, if you contain it in a container that's 1 inch in diameter, the water fills the container. Make the diameter a billion miles wide, as long as the amount of water in there is infinite, it'll just sprawl out and spread out to fill whatever parameters you're dealing with. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Ulechazkom kimaloi choloretz kevoidoi, because the kavod of Hashem fills the entire world. Ulechazkom ulo'iram, the tzaddik has to strengthen them and awake them to the fact so that shaloyiu miyayishem atzma chas v'shalom, so that these people shouldn't give up hope whatsoever. The minute they become convinced that they're distant from Hashem, that's an excuse for giving up hope. I'm so distant that possibly, who knows, even if I would want to crawl back, I've created too much of a distance. The tzaddik has to be able to convince them that there's no way possible for you to create a distance from Hashem. That power isn't found by you. Ki adayin heim etzel Hashem yisporach, because in fact they are still really close to Hashem, really right by Hashem, ukroiv meilav, and close to Hashem. Ki maloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi, because Hashem's kavoid fills the entire world. So that as long as you're in the world, there's no way in the world for you to distance yourself from Hashem. You simply don't have that power. Hashem is too great. If Hashem were limited in capacity, if Hashem were finite, from a finite item, you can move away from it. If Hashem is infinite, if we say Maloi Chol Horetz Kevoidai, it means the Metzias does not exist for you to make yourself distant from Hashem. It's just not possible, not feasible. V'ze b'chinas koil sheyesh lahatzadik. This is the attribute called koil, which the tzaddik possesses. The tzaddik is called koil. Now just to pause for a second and to explain this in terms of Kabbalah, we find in the Sefer Tehillim, we say, L'cho Hashem ha-gidula v'ha-gvura v'ha-tiferes v'ha-netzach v'ha-hoid ki koil ba-shamayim uva-oretz. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that this pasuk hints refers to the 7 lower attributes of Hashem. Gedula is a nickname for chesed that's used throughout the Torah. The term gedula is another word for chesed. Givura is givura, tiferes is tiferes, netzach, hoid, we've covered those. The next one after hoid is called yesoid. Yesoid is the 6th level of these 7 lower levels. 6th level corresponds to the concept of the tzaddik, because Yosef, the word Yosef, who is the representative in Jewish history of the term tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, the word Yosef is bigematria 6 times Yudke Vovke. So we know that the number 6 relates to the sphere of Yesoid. Now note, in saying this sentence, we have Gedula is 1, Gevura is 2, Tiferes is 3, Netzach is 4, Hoid is 5, and we don't find Yesoid. The next words are Ki Choyl. Ki, the word Ki, Chaf Yud, is Bigematria 30. Choyl, Chaf Lamed, is Bigematria 50. Together, they are Bigematria 80, which is the word Yesoid. Yesoid, Yud, Samach, Vov, Dalet, is exactly Bigematria 80. So that the words Ki Choyl, because everything, Bashamayim Voretz, is found in heaven and earth, this represents the sphera called Yesoid Tzadik, the foundation which is called the concept of Tzadik. So we see that the term Tzadik implies this level called Choyl, everything. Note, another proof for this is the tzaddik is the sixth one of the seven lower spheroids. If you recall, we mentioned in last week's shiur that the 10 spheroids are many times referred to as 370 lights of Kedusha. The three upper ones are called hundreds. The seven lower ones are called tens, which means that the tzaddik, which is the sixth level, he's the sixth one down, he automatically receives the light of the five above him. The five above him, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, and Hoid, are referred to as tens units. So therefore, the tzaddik is called Choyl. Choyl. Choyl is 50. Choyl refers to the five spheroids of Chesed through Hoid that the tzaddik contains within himself. So that in Sifrei Kabbalah it pays to mention this. Many times, Yesoid is not referred to as a sphera unto itself, as an attribute unto itself. There are only five real lower attributes, Chesed through Hoid. Yesoid is called a Koilel. It simply encompasses within itself, it contains within itself, it summarizes within itself the five above it. And Malchus is called a Klolius, the Klolius. Malchus is a Koilel of Yesoid, which is a Koilel. It's a second-level Koilel. If you see these terms used in Likutei Halachos or other Sforim, now you understand what it relates to. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, V'zeh b'chinas Koil she'yesh la tzadik. This is the attribute called Koil, which the tzaddik possesses. B'chinas ki Koil b'shamayim v'oretz, the ochid b'shmai of Yara. As the Targum says on that sentence, that it means that tzaddik holds on to, he has a hold on heaven and earth. Hainu shehu oichez umekayim shnei hoilamais. The tzaddik holds on to and sustains and supports two worlds. Oilam hoelyoin hu oichez umekayim bebechinas mo. The upper world, the tzaddik holds on to and he sustains it with the teaching of mo. To those people, he transmits this feeling of mo, this feeling of you haven't gotten anywhere yet in serving Hashem. The level that you're up to is what? Which means you're at the beginning. Bechinas ayei mekayim kavodai. This concept of asking where is the kavod of Hashem to be found. It's like a person who has not yet tasted Hashem in any way, and he's asking where is Hashem to be found. I feel like I'm so far that I haven't yet had any access, any association with Hashem whatsoever, and I'm first beginning to ask where can I find Hashem. Show me where to look, and I'll first start having any association with Hashem. Voilam atachtoin in the lower world, who mekayim the tzaddik sustains that world, bebechinas meloy cholaretz kevoidoi, by providing them with an attitude of meloy cholaretz kevoidoi, the fact that the kavod of Hashem fills the entire world. Rav Nosson Zal adds on here, va'ayin lekamen simen samaches, if you look into chapter 68, that's coming up in this second half of Likutei Moran, shom mevur gamkein inyin zeh bebir yoyser ktsas, there you'll find this topic that we're discussing right here more elaborated on. It's discussed in much more detail. V'haklal, but in any case, these, to summarize what we just said, shahat tzadik, ebi tzadik, ikar shleimusoi, the main concept of a tzaddik achieving any real completion, any level of completion is kishiyesh lo yishnei habachinas anal, is only when the tzaddik has succeeded in acquiring these two levels, in being able to provide these two forms of teachings. Dahainu sheyeda eich ledaber v'lilmoid ulohoyer bekol echod v'yechod. The tzaddik should be so intelligent and on such a high level to be able to know how to speak and teach and shine into each and every single Jew, meaning bedorei malo vedorei mato, those who are on an upper level, those who are on a lower level, be'elyonim ubetachtonim, b'shamayim uba'aretz. These are all similar terms, synonyms, that are the acronyms that are being used to describe the same concept of a higher level and a lower level. Rabbi Nizal says, "Dahainu shela hagdeilim b'malo." Those who are on a higher level, b'nei aliyah, they're called. In other words, those who are in the attic on the upper level, b'chinas dorei malo, tzorech sheyie koyach lahatzadik laharis lehem. The tzadik must possess the power to show them she'adayin einam yodim klal me'Hashem yisporach. They have a feeling that they know about Hashem. The tzaddik has to be able to transmit to them. He has to be able to present himself and his Torah on such a high level where when they see the level that he's on and the type of Torah that he's transmitting, they realize that they have, compared to him, they haven't yet begun to begin in coming close to Hashem. Bechinas machomis mapishpesht. What do you know? What have you seen? You haven't begun yet. V'zeh halimud v'hahasogo. This teaching and understanding, hu tzarech lohoyer ulahachnis b'hagdeilim b'malo. The tzaddik has to shine into and to transmit to those who are on a high level. Shein bechinas dorei malo. They are on this upper level. And just the opposite, there are people who are found on a very, very low level. They've just about hit rock bottom in religion. They're on the verge of giving up hope completely on themselves, ever being able to have any association with Hashem. That's how far away they feel. Ki nidme Elohim, it appears to them, shehim rechaikim ma'oyid me'Hashem yisporach. It appears to them that they've distanced themselves tremendously from Hashem. Ukvar ovad nitzchom v'toychalto me'Hashem. And it's become lost completely, any chance of them being able to come close to Hashem whatsoever. And the tzaddik must possess a power to be able to awaken them, to arouse them and awaken them, so that they should not give up hope on themselves whatsoever. No matter what happens to them, no matter how low they fall, they should never at any point entertain the thought of giving up hope. And to show them, and to shine into them, ki adayin Hashem imam v'etzlam. The fact that Hashem is still with them and next to them, the korev lehem, and close to them, va'afilu b'toycho oretz mamish. And even in the ground itself, if you fall in so low that you feel you're actually in the ground, afilu im nofal l'sho'el tachti is chas v'shalom. Even if a person has fallen to the lowest level of Gehenim, the Gemara tells us that within Gehenim there are seven levels, and Sheol is considered the super rock bottom. That even if a person has fallen that low, afal pikein, still shom daiko nimtza kavod yisporach, the kavod of Hashem is to be found even there. Ki maloi chol aretz kavodai, because the kavod of Hashem fills the entire world. V'ze bechinas koil sheyesh lahatzadik. This is the attribute called koil, which a tzaddik must possess. In order to be classified as tzaddik, he must be on the level to be able to have this super level of knowledge about Hashem and a talent in being able to transmit this knowledge of Hashem in such a manner that he's able to access literally the entire scope, the entire range of Jews. Those who are on the highest level to those that are on the lowest level, he's able to relate and deal with each and every single one of them on their own level and feed them exactly what they need at a certain point in time to bring them close to Hashem. An upper, at times he's on a downer. The tzaddik has to be able to know what to tell him at each point in time. When the person is feeling far from Hashem, the tzaddik has to know that's a time to be makariv. When the person's feeling big, like he knows a lot, that's a time to be marachik, to push him away. Why? Because if the tzaddik brings him close at that time, that could feed his ego. He's feeling like he's doing well. The tzaddik brings him close, it just adds to that. It hasn't accomplished anything. Whereas if the tzaddik pushes him away, and the guy says, "Here I thought I was close, and it's not true," Here I thought that I have to start figuring out how to get closer. Then I made a mistake. I calculated myself as being 2 inches away from the tzaddik, and I find that I'm not. I find that I'm 100 feet. I'm gonna have to figure out some way to do more. In other words, he was ready to just stop thinking. I've done everything I had to do. The tzaddik has to convince him that he hasn't yet done everything he has to do in coming close. And this item, again, this chapter on Likutei Moran has hundreds of pages in the Likutei Halachos explaining so many different aspects of this, so much knowledge that Rabbeinu Zal saying it in so few words, the information of how to deal with every single minute of your life, how a person passes through so many phases, and to be able to know exactly how to deal with it, because V'ameich Kulam Tzadikim, every Jew has to be this Bechina Tzadik, of knowing how to talk to himself at different times, knowing certain times to be mechazik himself and certain times to knock himself, to be able to shoot holes in himself. You think you're so big, you're not so big. Each person doing this to himself, and again, each chaver doing it on a chaver level, and especially from Rebbe to Talmud, this concept. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, paragraph Ches, Gamze ha-chochma dor hanal, this chochma the generation whom we are discussing, the one who has these attributes that we've just discussed, Tzorech Leida also has to know Eze Makifin Shehu Tzorech Laham Shichom Ve Eze Makifin She'ein Tzorech Laham Shichom. This Chacham, this very knowledgeable person, has to know which aspects of knowledge to reach out for, to yearn for, to try to draw onto himself, and which aspects of knowledge not to try to draw onto himself. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubishvil zeh," and because of this, yesh dvarim she'ein rishoyim legaloisam b'fnei hatalmidim. Because of this fact, because of the fact that we're letting you know that the tzaddik himself has to know which items of knowledge to try to attract to himself and which items not to attract, because of that, that's going to be affected by what he teaches to his students and what he holds back at times, certain information that he's not willing to pass on, that he doesn't share with them. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki im yigala oisan hadvorim, because at times, if the tzaddik will reveal certain things to his students, what will happen is, we explained earlier that the more a person shares his knowledge with other people and he empties out his head, each time he creates a void, the void gets filled with new knowledge. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ki im yigala ois nadvorim," if he'll reveal this item that we're saying to his students, what will happen is, "Yichnesu makifin acherim b'soich sichlei kanal." What will happen is, other pieces of knowledge that the tzaddik didn't have up until that point will now enter his brain. Ulefa'omim ein tzorech lekabel elu hamakifin. And at times, the tzaddik is not supposed to receive these makifin. Kemoi, Rabbeinu Zal is going to give an example now. Kemoi lemoshel, as for example, kishehorav medaber im talmidoi eze pshat bigamorim pirish toisvus, when a rabbi teaches his student an interpretation related to Gemara Rashi toisvus, some kind of discussion in Gemara, ubeseich dvorov hubo al eze kashya, and while the rabbi is discussing the item of Torah with his student, in thinking about it, a question enters the rabbi's mind. In other words, as he's explaining, he finds a weakness in his explanation, something, in other words, he's the one who's doing the explaining, he's the one who's doing the teaching, and he finds suddenly there's something that he doesn't understand fully. Bechinas makif etzloi. In other words, that v'oisai hakashio hoyo betchila bechinas makif etzloi. And this question was originally a makif to the tzaddik, something that's outside his scope of knowledge. Kilo yoda mimeno betchila, because he didn't know, the question hadn't occurred to him originally whatsoever. So, for example, when he started this discussion with his student, at that point in time, this question that first entered his mind in the middle of the conversation with his student, at the point when they're starting the conversation, this question was a makif. It was a halo, which was around the rabbi's brain. It hadn't even entered, the question hadn't even entered his mind yet. V'tekev kishenoifel b'sichlo izayis hakashya. And as soon as this question enters the rabbi's brain, hu aimra b'fnei talmidoi, he happens to mention it to the student. U'b'sayich kach, and in the middle of this, kishemas b'loi hakashya, in the process of explaining the question to his student, of transmitting the explanation of the question to his student, Neifel b'sichloi tirutz al akashia. The rabbi feels an answer to the question entering his mind. As he starts explaining the question, because he's transmitting some knowledge, something new comes into his head. Because he's transmitting the question, he's vacating that from his head and sharing it with his student. He creates a void, and Hashem shoots the answer in. Nimtzo shechayzer umasig makif acher. Now this rabbi achieves a new makif, Shehu Teretz Alakashia, which is the answer to the question. Originally, when he was about to start this conversation, at that point in time, the Makif was the question. Once he related that, once the Makif went in, once the question went in, and he began transmitting that to his student, now a new Makif comes in, which happens to be the answer to that question. V'asai oimer gam ha-teretz b'fnei ha-talmid. Then he continues to study with the student, and he transmits to him the answer, he explains to him the answer to the question. Ach kishemegala gam ha-teretz b'fnei ha-talmid. But now, when he's revealing the answer to this original question to the student, azai nichnas boi oid makif acher. Note, each time he takes something out of his head, something new comes into his head. So a new makif enters his mind. V'oz al yidei zeh ha-seichel shebol of ato hodro kushil aduchta. And now, this additional piece of makif that entered into his head now was a new question, for example. In other words, phase one was question, answer, what's the next cycle? A new question enters into his head. So Rabbi Gazal uses the terminology that's used in the Gemara many times, hodra kushil aduchta. The question goes back to its original state. When I start off with a question, then I supply an answer, and then I destroy the answer in a sense, how? By coming up with a new question, so I'm back to my original state, my original frame of mind called question. Rabbi Gazal says, v'adarabba, and just the opposite in a sense. Ato hakashio chazoko yosem betchila. Now the question is even stronger than the original question, because this second question now is on a higher level. In other words, each time I keep rising in level, the new question now is obviously going to be a more powerful one, because it's based on a new scope of knowledge. I've already achieved the knowledge of my first question, my first answer. Now I'm on a higher level. Now the question that comes in is going to be something that has to be a question even after I've already achieved this level of knowledge. So it's certainly a higher level question. Rabbi Gazal says, Nimtza. So what do we see from this? Shal yidei shegilo hateretz b'fnei ha-talmid. Through revealing the answer to the student, shal yidei zeh nichnas boi makif acher, by having done that, a new makif entered the mind of the rabbi, a new question, a new unknown entered the mind of the rabbi, the hainu sechel chodosh, a new wisdom, aydeze chosro hakashil mekayma b'yeser oiz. Now the question has returned to its original state in more power, a more difficult question. Rabbi Nizal says, ki ato hakashio chazoko urechovo yoiser mebitchila. Because now the question is more powerful and wider in scope than the original question. Because it has to be something that's a question to me even after I already understood the first question and answer. So it must be a more difficult question. Kamoi Kain, Rabbi Nizal says, similarly, yesh bahasogois. So too, in other words, this we gave an example in Gemara Rashi Tosfos, which is a lower level learning. Now let's enter into the realm of achieving real high level hasagos in the knowledge of Hashem. Let's talk about secrets of Torah, for example, or getting to understand Hashem on a very high level. Rabbi Nizal says, "Kamoi ken yesh bahasagos sheyesh dvorim sheoser legaloisam." There are certain things that a person is not permitted to reveal. Ki im yigala zehateretz b'fnei ha-talmid, if he'll reveal this explanation, this answer, a student asks a question. If the rabbi reveals the answer to the question to the student. Yichnas boy makif chodosh. They will enter into the rabbi's mind or into the student's mind. A new makif sha'al yodoy yihya hakashio chazoko urechava yoyser mebetchila. They'll enter a new question that's even more difficult than the first question. Ad sheyuchal likoneis bahasogois makifin sheim lamala meazman. To the point where a person can start getting involved in trying to understand dilemmas which are greater, dilemmas which are where time cannot contain them. These hasogois which outreach the concept of time. They're wider, they're bigger than the concept of time. She'ein hazman maspik levayer hakushes vatirutzim she'eshom. There doesn't exist within the capacity, within the boundary, within the framework of time, meaning olam hazeh, the scope to be able to understand the solution to this type of question, to this type of mystery. Because this type of question is above the concept of time, meaning it's a question from Olam Haba. It's a very high level question. Because whenever a person reveals any aspect of knowledge, be it a question or an answer, there automatically enters into the one who's doing the revelation, into the one that's doing the revealing, there automatically enters into his mind a new makif, a new sechel. Alkain, therefore, imlo yihyeh nizhar bedvarav, if he will not be careful in his words, ledaktik, to be particular, ezadovar legalois veezadovar shaloi legalois, which items to reveal and which items not to reveal, al yideze yihyeh nichnas bekashes vetirutzim she'ein hazman maspik levarom. Then, chas v'shalom, there exists a potential of this rabbi entering into a realm whereby he begins to have questions where there doesn't exist within the framework of time the capacity to answer these questions. These are classified as makifin, which are above the concept of time. Alkein, therefore, muchroch hachochom lasis siog lidvorov. Therefore, one who is this type of chacham, who's who his work is teaching people, transmitting to people knowledge, he must be careful to put a fence around his words, ledakdek uleizoher malagalis umashiloi legalis, to be particular and extremely careful what to reveal and what not to reveal. Ba'ifon, in a manner, shiloyasig rak oisin hamakifin shetzorech lasig, so that the teacher, the rabbi, should only get to understand the makifin which he is able to understand, and so that the rabbi will not get to understand, or will not attempt to understand makifin which he's not permitted to understand, or which not possible, which could blow his mind. That's the terminology that we use. And here again, we're privileged. Those people that are zeicha to have a Rebbe Emes, that was zeicha to have a true Rebbe, you get to see, in our Rebbe Zecharon Livracha, you got to see the Likutei Moran come to life. You got to see this concept by him, where as much as there was a super, super, super incredible eagerness on his part to transmit Torah, to elevate his students constantly, that was his whole tshuka in life, that was his whole yearning in life, and his whole mission, and his whole purpose, and he was meisar nefesh for that, and yet at times you sensed a tremendous holding back on his part. And the question is, why? Why would there be any dream of holding back? Rabbeinu Zal here reveals to us a secret. You should know that there is a reason. There's things that we don't begin to understand that are happening by these super tzaddikim when they're revealing knowledge. You don't know how it's affecting him. And there exists a potential at times by him revealing something that he's not supposed to reveal, that could bring a makif into his mind, chas v'shalom, that could cause tremendous damage. And we find examples of this by the Arizal. The Arizal once hinted to Reb Chaim Vital Zal the fact that there exists a certain secret in the Zohar HaKadosh which he can't reveal to him. And Reb Chaim Vital Zal said, but you once told me that your whole purpose in coming to this world was to teach me. The Arizal said, it's true, but yet, this item I can't reveal. And Reb Chaim Vital Zal didn't, as great a super, super tzaddik as he was, He didn't show enough 100% tmimus in taking the Arizal's words at face value. And he pushed a little, and he pushed a little, and he forced, because he insisted, the Arizal was forced to reveal to him this secret. What happened as a result? The Arizal lost a son. A child died for the revelation of this soid. Now here again, this child, who knows what could have come of him? Who knows what could have been of this son of the Arizal? Picture one, Rabbeinu Zal, on this chapter, we're going to have the next topic coming up, is the concept of the son of a tzaddik. What that means. Picture, who knows what could have come that was destroyed simply because the Arizal said, don't push. Up to here I can give you, I can't tell you this, or I can't tell you this now. And he pushed at the wrong time, and chas v'shalom, it caused a destruction, Rachmon of Islam. Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu, that we got to see this live. We got to see this by Rabbi Anas.
Well, I just want to know, Rabbi Anas is mentioning here about not speaking the question, because then a new question will come to you.
I mean, about not speaking the answer.
Oh.
That's what he said here. In other words, if you look carefully at the words, he said not to reveal the answer, because at the point of revelation of the answer activates the next item of knowledge, which is usually a question. You understand? He seems to be implying that it follows that sequence, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, so that at times, in other words, here again, this explains the mystery. Why would a Rebbe reveal a question without giving an answer? Why not? If you're not going to give me the answer, don't give me the question. The answer is he knows that up to that level he can go, the question he can reveal, because revealing the question to the student will give him, will give the Rebbe the answer. In other words, it'll give him a certain point of knowledge. Whereas if he reveals the answer to the student, that will activate the next question. And if the next question is a type of question that shouldn't be asked or that shouldn't be thought about, he's in trouble. He's got a problem.
Well, what's the difference if he says it? I mean, is the point that he shouldn't say it?
100%, because we explained earlier that what activates the process of a makif going inside?
Transmitting
it to somebody else. So that's the punchline. It's when the Rebbe is teaching, transmitting to somebody else, that's where there has to be this super care that he should know that each time he gives, he receives. And if he receives something he's not supposed to, he's in danger. There's sakona, rachmana
l'tzlan. Is this in any way like an eitzah for, like a person's own, you know, kashas that he has?
Definitely. In other words, for example, we have the concept that Rabbi Zal once mentioned, that there are tzaddikim who said that at times a person shouldn't pray for, in other words, let's say a certain sickness hits the world, sometimes people are willing to want to apply all their strength conceivable to knock out that type of sickness, and that shouldn't necessarily be done, because you never know what's, in other words, after that, behind that sickness is a worse sickness. So that if you knock that one out, you could be getting a worse one, chas v'shalom, that who knows how, in other words, if you'll be able to handle that one. At least this one you can live with, you know, try to live with it, versus the other one you don't know if you'll be able to live with, that kind of concept. So we see that there always is this concept of, even within a person, certain questions that he's not supposed to delve into, or certain wisdoms that he's not supposed to delve into, because they could, even if he's getting answers, once he has this answer, it activates the next level question. And if he wasn't supposed to have that next level question, then this answer, this set of answers, he should have left alone. This is the whole concept of avoiding Sifrei Kabbalah, that kind of thing, until you're ready for it. Because you should know, each time you get answers to certain things, you're automatically not charging off, activating additional questions. And that's why a person has to be able to pace himself to know what level is he on, what questions is, you know, that whole concept.
Does a tzaddik have any advanced knowledge of if the next makif or next makifin are going to be dangerous type or not?
The answer is by big tzaddikim, I'm sure they do. There's no question at all. And on the other hand, this is part of when Rabbeinu Zal says that a person before giving any type of shiur, he has to daven to Hashem, this is obviously part of his tefillah. That Hashem should guide him as to what to say and what not to say. This whole concept, Hashem is capable of putting, we have by the story of Bilam, Hashem is capable of muzzling, holding back what he shouldn't say, and stretching his tongue to force him to say what he was reluctant to say. That concept. So too, lahavdol ben kodesh l'chol ben tumah l'tahara by tzadikim, a tzadik asks Hashem to guide him what to reveal, what he has to say, because if he doesn't say it, chas v'shalom, the people aren't going to have certain strength that they need, and what not to say, so as not to damage himself or the people, chas v'shalom.
What does it mean to say that you should daven for Shabbat?
In about three or four chapters in the Likutei Moran, number one, Torah Chof, in the Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, he starts off that before a tzaddik is mamshech any biuri ha-Torah, he has to strike at the Lev Ha'olyon, plus v'shikuvai b'dchi mosachti. There's about four or five chapters in the Likutei Moran which deal with that topic, about before a person begins to teach Torah, he must prepare himself with tefillah first. About the dangers in teaching Torah. Rabbein Azal said that it's possible for a person teaching Torah, chas v'shalom, to commit sins that another Jew couldn't, to be able to commit murder, actual murder, ratzchon, and noyef, and an adulterer, all of those things, which are so distant from an average Jew, Rabbein Azal said, one teaching Torah can commit all of those sins in one shir. That's what he brings in the Torah Likutei Moran. That's what kind of super sakana there is, rachmona litzlan, in teaching Torah. Levi Hashem should protect us from being nechshal in any of those sins. Rabbein Azal says now, v'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom raza'al, this is, with what we just said, we can understand an interesting episode in the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara relates to us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah, there were many interesting items that took place at that time. And one of the items that the Gemara relates is, Gisha'olo Moshe Lamoroim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on high, Mitzoy LaKadosh Baruch Hu Shohyo Koysher Ksorim Loisiois. He found Hashem busy. What was Hashem doing? Hashem was tying crowns to the letters. Hashem was taking the letters of the Sefer of the Torah and attaching, tying, that's the term that's used, kasher, being mekasher, ksorim, tagim, to the oisiyos. Omar lei, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono shel Olam, Hashem, mi ma'akev al yodcho, what is obligating you to do this? What's propelling you to do this item? Omar lei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, in other words, what is the necessity of this? Omar lei, so Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Osid Echod La'amoy, there's going to come forth from the Jewish nation one super tzaddik, V'Akivo ben Yosef Shemoy, and his name is the great Rabbi Akiva, Sheyihye Doiresh al kol koitz v'koitz, Tilin, Tilin Shel Halachos. This super tzaddik, Rabbi Akiva, is going to be able to darshan, to teach on every single piece of every crown that I'm drawing here, he's going to be able to darshan mountains and mountains of halachos. Omar lei, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, if that's the case, Hashem, if that's the case, Roy Shetinosin Torah al Yodoi, wouldn't it only be proper that he should be the one giving to the Torah to the Jews? Imagine, here he's the one, I don't even know what you're doing, I didn't even understand the reason for what you're doing, and he's going to be able to lecture on each and every drop of this, hundreds and hundreds of lectures. It seems he certainly is more worthy than I. If you're looking for somebody to go on this mission now of presenting the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he certainly is more worthy for this than me. Omar lei, so Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shtoik, be silent. Kach olo b'machshavo. This is what entered my mind. This is the thought in my mind, Hashem said. And therefore, in a sense, mind your own business. This is how I feel, and therefore if I say that you should give the Torah, that's it. V'lechayre kosha. Rabbein Azal says, it appears very difficult to understand this. Ma omar loy Hashem yisbarach shtoik. Why did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu the word, be silent? Haloi kvar omar hakashya. Moshe Rabbeinu already emitted the question. He already asked the question. Umazu shtika. How does there exist the concept of being silent here? Me'acha shekvar hiksha ma'ashe hiksha. If a person is about to ask a question, you want to tell them, don't ask it. Don't ask any questions now. That I could understand. But the Gemara presents this sequence that Moshe Rabbeinu asked a question, and when he finished asking the question, Hashem said, be quiet. That implies that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to say something else. Is that what's being implied? Rabbi Nizal says, no. Ach tekev kishe omar Moshe hakashya, you should know that immediately, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu presented this question, Nofal besichloi teretz al akasha. Immediately, there entered into Moshe Rabbeinu's mind an answer to the question that he had just asked. Moshe Rabbeinu immediately was masig the solution to his question. Ach, however, im hoya oimer es hateretz, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken the answer, even though it was to Hashem, even it wasn't to a student, if he would let it out of his mouth, if he would have revealed the answer verbally, nichnas boi makif acher, they would have entered into Moshe Rabbeinu's mind a new makif, v'hoyobo al kashya yoyser chazoku ruchava mimatchila. And Moshe Rabbeinu would have achieved a new question, a much stronger, much more powerful, more difficult question than his original question. Therefore Hashem said to him, Shteik, be silent. Be silent on what? On your question? Baloney. He said the question already. Shteik al ateretz. Don't say the answer. I know that the minute you finish the question now, you just realized the answer, you're about to say it. Don't say the answer. Hainu sheyishteik v'lo yigales ateretz. Be silent and don't reveal the answer. So that chas v'shalom, it shouldn't enter into Moshe Rabbeinu's mind now a more difficult question than his original one, a more perplexing one. V'zehu, that's the meaning of kach olo b'machshava. This is what it means when Hashem said, this is how it enters into the mind, meaning, hainu, Hashem was telling him, shetekev kshemegalin es haseichel hapnimi, the moment a person reveals some of the knowledge that exists inside of his brain, oz oyle b'machshava seichel achar chodosh, there automatically enters into his mind a new seichel, ki nichnas makif achar lefnim, a new makif, a new halo that was originally outside his brain now enters inside. The alkane, and therefore, tzrichen lishtoik, the person must be silent, kidei shelo yovoi lemakifen she'ein tzrichen lahasigom kanal, so that the person should not come to understand things that he's not permitted to or not supposed to understand. V'zehu, this is the explanation, the interpretation to what Hashem said, shtoik, be silent, because kach olo b'machshava, because this is how things enter into a person's brain. Anytime he says something, he creates a vacuum and new stuff comes in. Therefore, be quiet. Stop here. Right now, you're perfect. You're right where you should be. If you say the answer, you're going to get a new question, and chas v'shalom, that could cause problems to you. Look at this note on the side. Moshe hoyo lemalo min hamachshava. Rabbi Nizal mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu was above the level called machshava, lekach hoyo yodeas hateretz. And that's what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the capacity to know the answer to this question. Ki hisig bechinas sisrei oisiois. Moshe Rabbeinu even understood the secrets of the letters. Kisrei oisiois, the crown of the letter, means crown is always the concept of the secret. Crown is something that's worn around the head. So that another word for secret, another word for that which is hidden, is the term crown. When we say he understood this concept of the crowns on top of the letters, it means he understood the sisrei oisiois, the secrets of the letters. V'hadvorim stumim. Rav Nosson Zal says these words, this little sentence here, is very hidden. Ki lo yibir heitev inyan zeh. Rabbeinu Zal did not want to explain this. Rabbeinu Zal was obviously mentioning something about Moshe Rabbeinu here, something outstanding, but Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to explain it. Period. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? Now note, if you put together everything we've been saying last week and this week, and we have about 3-4 more shots to go, this Torah is just so magnificent, so incredible, and the information that's being revealed here is phenomenal, And then you go into the Likutei Halachos, and that's where you see the application, where Rav Moshe Zal takes you on a tour throughout the entire Chumash and Navi and Gemara, and gives you all kinds of examples of episodes where this kind of concept existed. A Rebbe dealing with the upper level and the lower level, and this concept of the Makif, and all kinds of proofs throughout the Torah of examples of this happening. Halavai, we should be zeichet to get to learn the Likutei Moran, the Likutei Halachos, and get to follow all the Eitzos of Rabbeinu Zal the right way. Question of causing tzaddik to the other party, it was only to himself. Moshe Rabbeinu could only have caused damage to himself, as far as I know. Tzris, he has to consider to a degree also. The question is, when a student asks questions, is there any question that a student is not supposed to be asking? And the answer is, here again, in a sense, a person has to be able to sometimes to rate himself, to be able to understand that, in other words, because many times what happens is a student asks a question, a rabbi is reluctant to give him an answer because the rabbi understands that this student is not on the level right now to receive the answer to his question, but because the student asked the question and he didn't get an answer, he feels insulted in a sense at the fact that he asked and he wasn't given an answer, or it puts a doubt in his mind. Here I asked the question and I wasn't given an answer. Maybe there isn't an answer to this question. So in a sense, there does have to be a degree of caution of a person knowing within his limits what he should try to understand, what he should hold off, to be a certain patience to be able to wait. But not to use this as permission not to ask questions at all. That definitely not, because the Gemara says, "V'loy habayshin lomed," a person who's shy will not learn. He should push himself to ask, no question. Voloy habayshin lometh. Examples of this in the Gemara, where a student asked a question, and the Gemara says that while he was asking the question, he said, "I'm going to give the answer." There are examples of that, many examples in the Gemara, where a rabbi asked the question, while he was asking, he said, "I got the answer." How did he get the answer if he was the one asking the question? The answer is this concept of sometimes by saying out the question, that alone helps you get the answer for it.